What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screening baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. And this episode becomes available on Black Friday. So I hope you're listening to this while shopping or while avoiding shopping altogether. Whatever it is you do on BF. And my guests today are Parker Finn, Lori Kilmartin, and Mike Wiebe. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Let's meet I appreciate you all answering one at a time, but let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name is a thing we're trying. She's Annie Laurie 16 on the socials, but not just any Laurie to me. It's Lori Kilmartin. Hey, Lori.
Doug, I think we're doing New Year's Eve together at Cobbs, right?
It's true. It's true. Two shows.
I'm excited.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Two shows with old friend Tony Kameen's going to be there.
Yeah.
And some fresh, hot, young comedians and Cobbs. I've done New Year's Eve shows there several times over the years, and I always have a great, great time. It's a great club, great, great town. I hesitated on great town because it's changing.
It's a great town, and you know, great towns have a lot of human shit. That's what I say always.
That's what you always say.
I do.
Yeah, you've been trying to get them to make that California state motto. I heard a rumor you have a new merch store.
I just started a merch store. I did. it's because of a bit of mine. It's me riding a male centaur, and we're on our way to a restaurant where we're going to tell the hostess stable for two, please. You can hear the whole bit, New Year's Eve at Cobbs.
I will. Maybe I'll get to hear it twice. I think it's two shows that night. Yeah, so that's great. And where do people go to find that stuff? Just through your socials? There's links and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's in my pinned tweet on Twitter, and it's a T Public. So you can probably just look up my last name if you want to check it out.
Kilmartin, one L, one T. Don't know why there'd be more than one T.
Yeah.
He's a comedian. He's in the Draculas. He's in the Gentleman Gamblers. What bands isn't he in? He's Mike Wiebe. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Doug?
I'm doing good. Was October a busy month for someone in a band called the Draculas?
Yeah, we played on Halloween in New Orleans, and
oh man, that sounds very goth.
It was extreme. Yes, it was. I watched that the Interview with a Vampire show leading right up to it. It was perfect.
Oh man, yes, it's so. That show is so New Orleans.
It is so New Orleans,
and so cool. I love that TV show.
It's great.
Yeah. But you know, we're here to talk about movies, Mike.
Well, it was a movie, a very controversial movie because it cast Tom Cruise. And then Anne Rice had to come back and say, you know what? He did a good job, Tom.
Yeah, it was a weird, like everybody sort of was mad about it. And they went, oh, that didn't turn out so bad. But trouble is, they didn't, a lot of them, you know, maybe gone now and don't get to see this new show that does everything right and makes that movie look really dumb. I want to go back and watch the movie though, just to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. Is this your first time on Doug Loves Movies?
First time on Doug Loves Movies.
Well, there you go, because we have another newbie or first timer with us today. So excited to have him. Writer, director, A Smile, which has made over 100 mil at the box office, and it's still in theaters. It's Parker Finn. Hello, Parker.
Hey, Doug. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is so cool that your movie, usually it's the other way around. You know, somebody will come on my show to promote a movie, becomes a big hit, and I never hear from them again. But this way, you know, it's already a big hit. You're just doing this for fun at this point.
Yeah, we'll just have to hope it doesn't take a big dip after this show. You know,
oh no! I heard that guy on Doug's show. I'm not. I lost interest in that movie. I was frowning the whole time. And Smile is on Paramount Plus now as well, too. Yes.
Yes, and I think it's also available for purchase on all the usual places like iTunes and Amazon, stuff like that.
Yes, you can get it on digital, but you know, don't tell Paramount Plus I told you this, but get a free trial. And then, is there already talk of a sequel to Smile, or is it too soon?
It is. I mean, that is a question that I get asked every single day of my life, all day, every day.
that's but, why I had to pile on.
Yeah, there's no official update to be said at this point.
Well, I only brought it up because I have a title I'd like to suggest for you.
Please.
Smile 2, Still Smiling.
Love it. Done.
You know, and it sounds fun, but then you can just make it even twice as scary as the first one, which is very scary, by the way. So this is another question you probably get all the time, but like, where did the initial the smile idea initially come from?
You know, I just wanted to ruin something everybody loves. You know, was my plan going into it. No, I liked the idea of you know, for me, like the way that we sort of, everybody obviously associates it with like the universal symbol for friendliness, and seeing if I could totally, you know, turn that on its head. But I liked even more like the idea that we sort of in real life use smiles as masks, you know, to sort of like keep people out from what we're really feeling. So any of our anxieties, depressions, and fears, stuff like that we smile to keep people out, and sort of this expectation, I think, from society that like, hey, like, I don't care what's going on with you, like, don't be weird or you know, upsetting or not normal around me. Just you know, you're sort of expected to smile through it. So I really love the title, not just as a noun but as a verb.
Right. Well, also, I saw it on Dancing with the Stars the other night. Tyra Banks is still pushing smiles, which is, you know, smiling with your eyes. And
that's the title of the sequel, I think.
Right? That might have to be it. You might have to switch to the eyes are the problem. I don't know. you're the creative on this deal, so you do what you got to do. But you know, gearing up to film something else, a different movie or project?
I'm in discussions on a few different projects, and I'm developing a few new original ideas as well. So some stuff I'm really excited about, but nothing that's been officially announced yet.
Right. Nothing you can accidentally say, get my podcast a little bit more attention.
Yeah. So it's Avatar 3, actually.
Oh my God. Avatar 2. When is it going to finally, is it like next week or something? It's finally going to be out.
I think so. Yeah. Sometimes
it's soon. any day now. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Like the trailer to me. Yes.
I was just going to say that those Avatar, the blue guys, they do look pretty creepy when they smile. They do look legitimately disturbing. The uncanny valley there is what bothers me.
No, that's a good point. But they probably don't smile much because, you know, it's a James Cameron movie, so they're probably under a lot of duress during much of it. You know, how much smiling?
Yeah. They're getting yelled at a lot.
Hey, Doug, can I say that my son and I, we paid full price and saw Smile in the theater, and it was so worth it. It was great, and thank you so much, Parker. It was an amazing movie.
Oh, gosh. Thank you, Laurie. That's incredibly nice of you to say. Thank you.
All right. Now it's Mike's turn. What do you have to say about it?
I didn't know you were going to be on, and I really loved it. And the ending, it was one of the most satisfying. Because a lot of times I feel like horror endings are not that satisfying, and I loved, without spoiling anything, I loved the ending so much. It was really, really good.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
I was not expecting that, Mike. I really thought I was just, you know, we were going to have some fun with the fact that you hadn't seen it yet. But you really nailed your answer. And as I listened to it, I was thinking, you could say this without ever having seen it, probably. It's the kind of compliment that the director would go, oh, thanks. Yeah.
Well,
you know, I worked hard on that ending.
I think any other horror listener would agree, though. Like it, I want to talk about it, but it would spoil it too much.
Yeah.
But
like absolutely.
It's really good ending. Like it usually you're not scared by the end, but the ending was like as scary as anything else. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, Lori's, her mentioning it in such a positive light means that the ending was good. Because I feel like a lot of people, when they, that's the key thing they point to when they dislike a horror movie, is how it ended. Like, for some reason, that's really important to people. To me, it's like, you should just be scared along the way, and then it's done. Like, you know, like walking through a haunted maze. You're not like, oh, at the end of it, why wasn't there 1,000 zombies instead of one, you know? But anyway.
I can assure you people will find any number of things to not like about a horror movie.
Yeah.
That must be like just putting out a movie like that and then looking at the social media must be just crazy because of all the different angles people come at you from with what their problems are.
Yeah. I don't care. It's whatever, man. If people like it, it's awesome. If people don't like it, you know, you can't litigate people's taste. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, when someone's like, this movie's, you know, bad, well, okay. But you know, there's somebody that likes every bad movie is how I look at it. And some bad movies become the highest grossing movie of all time. All right, so
I don't like where this conversation's going.
thank you to all of you for being here. And before we play some games, I'd like to ask each of you to recommend one movie. And since we're right smack in the season of Thanksgiving, I've been asking everybody to name a movie that you are thankful for, you know, whatever reason. You can tell us your reason or not, but just, you know, a movie that you really appreciate that it exists. So we'll start with you, Laurie.
Oh, man. Listen, I really enjoyed Maverick, Top Gun Maverick. I accompanied people who actually wanted to see it. I didn't want to go. And I forget the guy's name. The actor's name is Glenn. And
Glenn Powell.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And so that was revelatory to me. And I saw it in Spain, so I didn't even understand the plot points. It was a little bit tricky. You think there aren't any plot points, but it was a little tricky. There was some argument in the control center that I think really set the movie up that I didn't understand. But I don't care. I loved it. It was great. And you know, I was bummed we didn't see Kelly McGillis, but other than that, it was a lot of fun. I was really surprised.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the consensus. Is everybody, like, they're talking Best Picture nomination for that movie.
All right.
It's, you know, everybody's enjoying it so much. It's I don't know what it is about the timing of when it came out and what it's offering. Because I'm still not that much of a fighter jet guy. I don't, you know what I mean? It's not, it doesn't interest me really.
You know, but there's something about Tom Cruise where it's like, oh, he's just going to be really strangely in shape for his entire life. And it's just kind of fun to watch too. You know, I mean, obviously he's made huge sacrifices in his religious and personal life, but all right, I guess, you know, he's experimenting on himself and it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Like this next movie, he wants really film out in space. Like he's really going for it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you gotta appreciate him for that, I guess.
Yeah.
Mike, for a second there, when she said Maverick, I thought she was going to say the old, you know, James Garner movie that obviously inspired your band, The Gentlemen Gamblers.
Riverboat Gamblers, but yeah.
Why do did I call Gentlemen the first time too?
Yeah, but we are gentlemen though. I mean, we, you know, we throw our coats down over mud piles for ladies to walk over.
I don't know which of your bands like better, The Gentlemen Gamblers or The Vampires.
Yeah.
All right. So, might as well screw everything up. Okay, so Mike, give me a movie that you're thankful for, please.
This is not overall thanks, but a recent thankfulness of I laughed harder than I've laughed at anything in a long time watching Weird, the Weird Al Yankovic story.
Yeah, can I tell you, as soon as you said I laughed harder at anything in a long time, as soon as you were saying those words, I started to write down the word weird.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah. Because that is how people feel about that movie. Everybody I run across that's seen it is just like, wow, it is weird to laugh that much at a movie.
Yeah, it was joyous. Like it was like a weird, weird feeling to have that much. It felt like I just haven't laughed at a movie. Like there's some TV stuff that I've laughed at, but like I Think You Should Leave, I laugh at a lot. But man, Weird was start to finish like a new solid joke in a different direction the whole time. It never got old.
Yeah, and I didn't mind the commercial breaks because you're watching the premiere of the movie. So it was just sort of like just to get to see it immediately like that and for free. You know, nobody's making TV movies anymore with commercials in them that you would actually want to see.
Yeah.
So this was like, I love the whole experience. So I hope it works out for Weird Al and Daniel Radcliffe and Roku. I hope it's I hope that this monetized somehow. I guess that, you know, the advertisers might have to pay a lot to be in there or something.
Parker, great theatrical release. I would have loved to have seen that in the theater.
Oh, it would have been super fun to see in a theater for sure. But it just also feels like, especially something that doesn't have necessarily international appeal, and is a comedy, is like for some reason movie theaters are now about, you know, horror and spectacle and comedy and, like, you know, smaller dramas are sort of pushed out of the cinema, which is a shame, but then that makes me grateful for so much streaming possibilities.
Yeah.
it's, you know, your people's work can be seen one way or the other. Parker, what's your movie you're thankful for? Doesn't have to be current. We got two current ones here, kind of. It doesn't have to be current.
Well, I'm gonna do something even stranger, and I'm gonna say a movie that hasn't come out yet, but I've had the chance to see, which is Damien Chazelle's new movie Babylon. I was very lucky to get to see that movie early. Shout out to Paramount, but yeah, that movie is like totally off the wall, like crazy that it even exists. It is such a unique, gigantic, like utterly salacious and like astoundingly funny movie that is incredibly epic and fun. And I mean, it is over 3 hours, but the whole thing is a total blast. I think it comes out at, like, near the end of December. And I can't wait to see people start reacting to that movie, because it's insane. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. There's already a lot of, people writing about it, cause it's played festivals and like, it was at TIFF or something. And I mean, just reading about it, it sounds insane. And then the trailer, I don't like watch trailers as a general rule, but this one, I was just like, I got to see what this even looks like. And the trailer, of course, gives you no answers, really. It's just all this stuff going on. But I laughed a couple of times in the trailer. I mean, Brad Pitt, it looks like he's very funny in it.
It's super funny. Yeah. And the movie, but it also takes itself like deeply serious, and it, the amount of chaos that is going on screen in any given scene, just like as a filmmaker, was like incredibly like inspiring to see. It's definitely an experience unlike anything else this year.
He's not shy about filmmaking and what his own tastes are, because I can't imagine anybody. I mean, I'm sure there's people that like all three of his big movies that have come so far: Whiplash, La La Land, and what's the space one called?
First Man.
First Man. Okay, you get a point. They all, all of those. Those are three incredibly nuanced, confident movies that could not be more different from each other. And like, I was really excited about him as a filmmaker, and I didn't love First Man, but I love the other two. So I think he's, obviously somebody to watch, and that he uses the power he's accumulated to make what sounds like an absolutely bonkers movie. Parker, have you seen RRR?
No, it's so high on my list. So many people whose opinions, I respect have told me to see it. I just it sort of came around. It was like showing when I was like at my busiest with sure, like press and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm like, I am dying to see it. It's right near the top of my list. I've heard nothing but just like complete and utter praise for that movie.
It's again, same for me. It's like way up on my list to see, and I keep going back and forth between, I could just watch it on TV and get it over with, or I could, wait for the next theatrical experience, because it sounds like they had a screening during Beyond Fest at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood that like people were going wild during the movie, like physically out of their seats during the movie, in a packed 1,000-seat theater. And it sounds like so much fun, but that's another, I just thought of it because of 3 hours of mayhem is what that movie feels like that is as well. All right. Well, thank you very much for those recommendations. And we're going to play some games right after this break. We'll be right back.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, we're back. And this first game we're going to play today, Lori Kilmartin, you can blame your friend and podcast co-host Jackie Cation for this game, because she did the show a few days ago in Houston at the Come and Take It Festival. We had a very good time. But she did point out during the show that she would have been a better guest and do better with the questions if they were about books instead of movies. So that inspired me to create a game we're going to play right now called Doug Loves Books.
Oh, my. I love it.
Yeah.
What a title. Yeah. I couldn't have guessed it.
Well, you're going to have to take some wild guesses here, because I think this is a difficult game. I'm going to name a movie, a book title, and then you tell me the movie it became. So you're either going to know it because you read the book and then saw the movie and you know they changed the title, or you're going to be able to sort of guess at it based on, well, what would that book, what does that title sound like it could have turned into? So whether you know it or don't know it, please take a stab at it. And I'll say the first one to Lori, and if she doesn't get it, then Mike gets a chance, and if he doesn't get it, then Parker gets a chance, and we go from there. Whenever somebody gets one right, we'll start with the next person, just to move it around. And there's also one or two people might get lucky and land on an insanely easy one. But one more thing, I'm looking for exact titles. So the answer has to be exactly what the movie is called. Are you ready, Lori?
I am.
Are you sitting down?
I am, and I'm very stressed out, because me not knowing about movies is okay, but me not knowing about books makes me look illiterate, and I think my cover's about to be blown. So go ahead, let's play this game.
I mean, it's books turned into movies, so they're,
I know.
They're degraded books.
We'll see.
I'm just glancing at these right now, and I'll give you one clue that they mostly worked out well, turning these books into movies. All right, this first one, Lori, is a book called The Short Timers.
Oh, okay. I'm just gonna guess Cocoon.
That's a terrific guess, because they were just on Earth for a little while because they were old and needed to get out. Or whatever. I forget exactly how that worked. But that is not the answer I was looking for. Right. Mike, do you by any chance, because also in the credits of this movie, it probably says based on the book, blah, blah, blah. In this case, it's The Short Timers.
I feel like it's a Stephen King thing. Short Timers. Is it Tommyknockers?
I like that guess. Also Shawshank might have been
an
interesting guess there. But no, it's not a Stephen King. Parker?
Well, this happened to have been turned into one of my favorite movies ever.
Here we go.
By one of my favorite filmmakers ever. Yeah, so the Short Timers became Full Metal Jacket.
That's correct. Yeah, see, I thought some people might stumble into knowing these, because if you're a fan of any of these movies, you might know it's based on a book. So that puts Parker on the board, but we're back to Lori with this next one.
Okay.
A movie was made from a book called The Hoods.
The Hoods?
Hoods, like Hoods, The Hoods.
Mississippi Burning.
Oh, that is a really good, that's an unfortunately As an unfortunate and good guess.
I knew it wasn't right, but I threw it out there, Doug.
Yeah, no, I mean, you think of hoods.
Yeah.
That's a good guess. Mike?
I'm trying to think of something mob or mafia related, but I know it's not Goodfellas. Donnie Brasco.
Yeah. Incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't think it was.
But you know, I like your I like your reasoning. Is this another one of your favorites, Parker?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, and then I'll be very embarrassed. you know, I was kind of on the same wavelength as Mike, thinking about it sounds like it would be like mob or mafia related. But I, you know, I'm wondering if it's, it's not in any way related to The Godfather, is it?
How do you mean?
I don't know.
Are you asking me a question to figure out the answer?
Yeah. So that's my really bad answer is
The Godfather.
Yeah.
Somehow related to the God, like maybe Godfather 3 was based on a book or something.
Something, yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't even know. Like, did Mario Puzo write Godfather 3, or was that
no,
out
I
of
think
his hands by that point?
No, he just wrote The Godfather. I think it was just The Godfather. Yeah.
All right. This was everybody was you know right in the you know the guesses were all great. It's a motion picture from Mr. Sergio Leone called Once Upon a Time in America. His look at the spaghetti western gangster movie. Parker has 1 point. We're back to Lori.
Okay.
This one, somebody, it might ring a bell to them because this was news to me. Plein Soleil. PLEINSOL. EIL, Plain Soleil.
Oh.
Like Soleil Moon Fry.
Sure, right.
Is how Soleil is, I assume, spelled and pronounced. What do you think that is?
Well, Soleil, Lori? It's a French word, right? But I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
So I don't know a movie title, but because I think Soleil is a French word, I'm going to say a Jerry Lewis movie.
I would almost have to give you a point if it ended up being a Jerry Lewis movie, just for figuring that out. But it is not a Jerry Lewis movie. Mike?
I am going to guess, because I feel like Soleil, and I might be totally wrong on this, for some reason I felt like it means moon in French, and it's very Frenchy, so Moonrise Kingdom?
Oh, okay. I don't think I feel like Wes Anderson's only done animated things that were based on books, but I think everything else comes out of his brain.
Yeah, I think so.
But still a good guess. Parker?
Well, so I'm a little confused because I know Plein Soleil as a film. So Plein Soleil means purple moon in French. And and that is so Plein Soleil is the book, because isn't The Talented Mr. Ripley the book that then there's both there's a American version of, and then isn't Plein Soleil the French version adaptation of that book?
I think what's going on here is that you are correct. I think the book was Plein Soleil and the movie was Mr. Talented Ripley, but they made a Talented Mr. Ripley, but they made a French version that they just
There's a French Plein Soleil. Yeah.
Wasn't there? So figured Ripley it out. Written by a woman named Patricia. I forget her
Hightower.
Last name. Yeah, was she American?
Probably British.
Okay.
All right. Like Hightower. But I'm not positive.
I think it's High Smith, by the way.
Oh yeah.
That sounds That's right.
Yeah, come down out of your high tower and tell us.
I have the book on my shelf next to me. So.
And it's wow. called that?
It's called The Talents of Mr. Ripley.
Are you sure like that's not just an American version of the book that they just put the movie title on?
I have the one that I read is the Patricia Highsmith The Talents of Mr. Ripley.
Okay. So yeah, so I screwed that up and you still got it right. Cuz I was just using sources that were saying here's what these movies were, the ones I couldn't think of myself cuz I never knew what book Talented Mr. Ripley was based on, but it probably
dangerous to use sources,
Yeah, absolutely. So the internet's wild.
And Doug, am I being credited at all for guessing that Salale was a French word, or does that not even count?
I don't know what kind of credit to give. I can give you like a 0.2.
Okay.
That might come in handy.
I mean, these things add up.
Yeah,
and okay. It is French for moon. Is Soleil moon? Mm-hmm. I don't need credit. I just want to be happy that I remembered something.
Oh yeah, sounds well. You said Purple Moon is the name of.
Okay, cool, awesome. I remembered something.
So, no, I'm saying you told us that Purple Moon is the name of. Miss Talented Mr. Ripley. Right.
All right, that Parker said that.
Oh, well, sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Parker has 2 points, and we're back to Lori again with 0.2 points.
Okay.
Let's make it 0.02.
Wow.
Like alcohol levels. No. I'll give you a full 0.2.
Okay.
And but here you might be able to get a point here, but okay. We'll see. Traum Novel, I'll spell it, TraumNovelle. Traum Novel. What do you think that turned into?
Well, I mean, this seems unlikely, but my guess is Full Metal Jacket.
That would be the weirdest twist in this game. If that movie was based on two different books, which happens sometimes. Yeah. I think the Mr. Rogers movie might have been based on two books. But no.
Okay.
Mike?
Traum Novel. Oh. Yeah. Mad City?
I like it, but no.
Traumaville? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I like how you worked that out a little bit with the traum at the beginning. Parker, what do you say it is?
So again, my French is pretty bad, but I feel like that means dream story. But I don't know. There's not a movie called Dream Story, is there?
No, there isn't. But boy, when you hear what movie this is, it's it actually tells you a lot about the movie that maybe a lot of people don't realize.
So maybe the title has changed to like hide something about it. Yeah. Dream Story. Oof. Avatar 2.
That'd be great if he just switched over and James Cameron was like, I'm not going to write this one. I'm going to base it on a book. We're back to your favorite filmmaker, Mr. Stanley Kubrick. And that was the book that Eyes Wide Shut was based on.
Oh, shit.
Right? Dream Story. Because that movie's just like a dream.
Oh, God, it's such a good movie.
Tom Cruise just wandering around doing weird things. Yeah. I like it more every time I look at it. Okay, so Parker's got two. Let's try to get Laurie or Mike on the board with Oh yeah, this is gonna work, Lori.
I am on the board. Yeah.
Yeah, you got point two. You're right. What movie do you think resulted from a book called "Who Censored Roger Rabbit"?
Well, I guess I'm gonna, just because of the common surname, I would guess Jessica Rabbit.
Is the name of the movie?
Yeah.
That is based on the book "Who Censored Roger Rabbit."
Right. Yeah, I stand behind my. I'm even prouder. The more you try to make me doubt my answer, the prouder I become of it.
I'm proud of it because that Jessica Rabbit was, of course, Roger Rabbit's wife. But that's not the answer I'm looking for. Mike?
Yeah, that was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's right. That's the correct answer. Sorry, Lori.
I don't think that was fair.
I mean, she stole the movie, though, Jessica Rabbit.
It should have been called something, something Jessica Rabbit, for sure. That would have been a better way to go with it, but at least now Mike is on the board, and Parker, you're up first on this next one. What movie is based on a book called The Sheep Pig?
The Sheep Pig.
Yeah.
It really rolls off the tongue.
Right? That's probably why Hollywood rejected it. Like, we're not going to make a movie called The Sheep Pig.
Let's say, God, I'm gonna say one that I know is not the answer, but it's the only thing with sheep in the title that I can think of. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh. That would be really weird, but yeah. No, that's not right, Lori.
Pig, the movie Pig.
Oh, with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
They were like, let's just call it Pig because nobody knows the difference between a sheep pig and a regular. No, it was a truffle pig, though. I think it would have been called Truffle Pig.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Mike?
I am going to guess, because it's neither a sheep nor a pig, but kind of both, of Okja.
That's a good movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great movie, but I feel like he wrote it, but I don't know. Okja is my guess.
Yeah, I don't know if Okja was based on a book or not, but I really thought this was an easy one because it's the movie Babe.
Oh.
About a sheep herding pig.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, Lori.
Yeah.
Here's one you're going to knock out of the park.
All right.
What movie was based on the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Well, you know, these titles go all over the place. I mean, it's probably as Willy Wonka in it. I can't remember the exact titles of like the Johnny Depp movie versus the Gene Wilder movie, but
just take a crack at it, see what happens.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That is correct. You could have said either that or just repeated back to me, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, because that's what the Tim Burton one was called. Lori, Kilmarn's on the board, 1.2 points.
Sweet.
Mike, are you ready?
I'm ready.
What movie was based on a book called Wise Guy?
That would be Goodfellas.
That is correct. Mike is up to 2 points. Parker?
Let's do it.
It all comes down to this. What movie is based on a book called Shoeless Joe?
I'm assuming there's a character named Joe in it.
I was interested to see how long that silence was going to go.
Yeah.
I actually know this one too.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Pressure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say Avatar 2.
It's a good go-to, but that's not it. Lori?
Field of Dreams.
That is it. Field of Dreams is the story of Shoeless Joe from Kokomo. I don't know where he's from, but you know, the baseball player whose you know, ghost comes out of the cornfield and talks to Kevin Costner.
He's not wearing shoes.
Yeah, played by the late great Ray Liotta. Yeah, I guess he was a baseball player that wasn't into wearing shoes, was his deal. Mike, did you know that one?
I did. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was hoping I was going to grab that.
Well, unfortunately, you know, Lori talked her way into a win because she wins with 2.2. 2.2 is higher than the other two gentlemen who each scored 2. But all she wins is having to go first in our next game, which we will play right after this break. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back, and I'm excited to say that Lori gets to go first in this next game, and we'll switch the order around. So it goes Lori, then Parker, then Mike, and it's a game called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? I say a tagline from a movie. You tell me what movie it is. Very, very similar playing style to the last game. I want to ask Parker really quick, though. Do you like the taglines that were created for Smile, and did you have anything to do with their creation?
They, you know, when they first started talking about, you know, marketing and started showing materials and stuff like that, there was like a book of like, you know, 300, not like just like a binder of like 300 different things they had just been like throwing against the wall. I, you know, I think it's taglines are hard, man.
Yeah, they really are. They have to do a lot, and so it's hard to do it well. You know,
once you see it, it's too late, I thought was like a nice, you know, sort of like distillation of the high concept, at least in the film. So,
Right. Also implying that once you've seen the movie, then you will have seen the smile and therefore be, you know, because that used to be always like in the 50s, you know, that horror movies used to all be all about like how the movie was going to actually ruin your life somehow. The other two that I saw on IMDb were Pass It On. Mm-hmm. And The New Face of Fear.
Yeah, I mean, Pass It On is definitely fun, and I like about Once You See It, It's Too Late. I like taglines that have like a warning to them.
Yeah. That's true. Like that's really a standard way. It's like daring people to come see the movie. is a fun approach to horror. Okay, so I'll say one of these taglines that was created for a motion picture, you know, from any point in the history of motion pictures, and Lori will guess first. She misses, Parker gets a stab at it, and then Mike, and if all three of you miss it, we just move on to the next one. Again, these are mostly difficult, and anybody gets any of them, I'll be quite proud, but there also is a theme that will emerge amongst the answers that may help you to think of the answer on the next one. Here we go, Lori.
Okay.
This beauty pageant's about to get ugly. What movie do you think they would sell with the sentence, "This beauty pageant's about to get ugly."
Miss Congeniality?
A terrific guess. Not the right guess.
Wow.
Mike?
I am going to guess Drop Dead Gorgeous.
No, another great guess. I'm realizing they don't say that enough on like Jeopardy. Great guess, but no. Parker, wait, did I screw up the order already? I did, didn't I? Apologies. I was supposed to go to Parker second, but I'll fix it on the next one. Parker, thank goodness he missed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like pageant movies or ones that feel. Can you say it one more time?
Mm-hmm. This beauty pageant's about to get ugly.
So that there's like a colloquialism happening in there.
Yeah, no, it's real informal. Like, hey, this beauty pageant's about to get ugly.
Best in show?
No, that's not it. This is one of those ones where it's a sneaky little thing I'll do to a guest sometimes, and it's not nice or fair. That's from a motion picture called Smile.
The 1975 movie.
That's right. Yeah, I knew you'd be familiar with it, but I didn't expect you to know the tagline. So my evil plan worked.
Was that a TV movie?
Mm-mm. No, it was a theatrical motion picture. The guy who directed it did a lot of terrific movies and political satire. And now I can't think of his name.
Was the theme
though.
Song Smile, Even Though Your Heart Is Breaking? Was mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, they played that in the movie.
I remember that. Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole, you know, just sort of the creepiness of a beauty pageant and Americana in general. Like Bruce Dern is in it, and you know, it's definitely a product of the 70s. And now we have a new Smile. And
yeah,
that's the answer to the first one. So now we go back to Lori, and I'll get the order right this time. Lori, then Parker, then Mike. Lori, with only that piece of information to go on, that the first one, the answer was Smile. This next movie's tagline goes, "Every rose has its thorns."
The Rose, Bette Midler.
I don't think they wanted to sell her as being thorny. Great guess, incorrect.
Wow.
You're always there with the great guesses, though. You know. There's thanks. Episodes thanks, of the show for, where people are just dumbfounded the entire time. Can't even make a guess, you know.
Wow.
Parker?
I mean, like, I feel like I feel the theme emerging here. Does this movie predate Poison?
Oh, a movie called Poison?
No, the band that would sing that song.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell you the year yet.
We can
move on. You don't have to. You don't have to say something. Mike.
I'm going to take what Parker started and go, because maybe it is something to do with stages and Poison. And maybe that was the tagline too. I know it's not about Poison, but Marky Mark was a rock star. I think it's called Rock God, where he's like a glam metal guy.
Oh, Rock Star?
Was it Rock God or Rock Star?
I think it's just Rock Star.
Rock Star. Well, I'm guessing by that response, it's not.
No, that's not the answer. This is a movie from 2007 called Teeth. Yeah.
Oh.
Teeth.
Oh, about the teeth in the vagina, right?
Mm-hmm. Every rose has its thorns.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Back to Lori.
What kind of movie is Teeth? Is it a...
Oh, I think he just described it.
It's just a.
It's about a woman.
It's a documentary about an actual
yes.
woman.
Yes.
I just wanted to clear up any misconceptions in case you guys thought it was a true story.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a fictional tale. I feel like it's. There's a David Cronenberg called Rabid where a woman develops a set of teeth in her armpit, and so it sort of felt like that a little bit. But so we got Smile, Teeth. Mm-hmm. Here's the next one, Lori.
Okay.
What movie had the tagline? It has a living room and a dying room.
All right. So Smile, Teeth. I mean, I don't know. Is there a movie called Lips? Is there a movie called Tongue? Larynx?
Are any of those your guess?
Uvula, if there's a movie, that would be my guess.
Uvula the movie?
Yeah.
No. All Parker. Right. It has a living room and a dying room.
Let's see, so Smile and Teeth.
The
and,
theme is really messing with people on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just think more about the tagline. Just what movie applies to the tagline. It has a living room and a dying room. Anything?
Let's go with Monster House.
I'm telling you, these are some of the greatest guesses of all time on this program. Mike?
It's not based around a house, but I'm going to say In the Mouth of Madness.
See, this is how dumb this game is. That I think it'll be fairly obvious what the answer is, and then also very aggravating.
Too hard, Doug?
I definitely have been working too hard preparing this because the movie is called The Haunted Mansion. Get it? Mansion.
Oh,
all right, so
right.
We got Smile.
Right.
We got Smile. We got Teeth. We got Mansion. And here's the next one. First person to get one right wins, by the way. But they're going to get easier. Lori?
Yeah.
This is a long one. There are no words to describe Sutter Kane's latest and greatest novel. There are no words to describe Sutter Kane. That's the whole thing. It's a tagline that just doesn't want to get into it. And so what movie do you think would do that, Lori? Do you know a movie that has someone named Sutter Kane in it?
I don't, but my closest guess is Barton Fink.
Oh, that's a really good one. Parker,
if Barton Fink's name was Sutter Kane, then I would have been right.
Yeah,
Lori, do you read Sutter Kane?
No.
Yeah. So that is what Mike just guessed. That's In the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah,
I love that movie so much.
Do I get a pre-point?
No, but I'm telling you, I was impressed that. I didn't expect anyone to ever have any idea about John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness, and especially trying to think of movies with, you know, that Smile, Teeth, Chin, Mouth. So we're going to officially call Parker the winner because we're out of time. But I just want to say that just around the corner, just to make sure someone would get a point, the next one was going to be You'll Never Go in the Water Again.
Jaws.
Exactly. Smile, Teeth, Chin, Mouth.
I mean,
Jaws.
I was going to guess that too, Doug.
But, yeah, you know. I think you would have. But
I'm still trying to. I'm still hung up on the mansion meaning chin.
Man, chin.
Chin.
I don't know anybody that pronounces the word that way.
Man,
but sure.
Chin.
I'm less hung that, up and more just angry, but that's okay.
There's that politician mansion too, right?
Yeah, mansion.
Yeah. What do they call him? Like a blue bear or something? They call him something because he's not like normal. He's like
a blue dog. It's a blue dog.
Is that it, really?
Yeah, blue dog Democrat. Yeah, there. Yeah, that's like it. It's like a Southern racist Democrat.
Yeah, That's what I was driving at. I knew his nickname shouldn't be something to be proud of. All right, so Parker Finn, you get to do your promoted first. Smile is in theaters on digital and Paramount Plus. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I think that about covers it. Thank you for anybody who has seen it, and for anybody who might, it's a perfect movie to watch with your family over Thanksgiving or over, I guess this comes out Black Friday. So, shortly after Thanksgiving when the family's all together, it's nice and heartwarming and will put a smile on your face.
Yeah, Lori didn't mention she took her 4-year-old. It's not a big deal. Thank you, Parker. And Lori Kilmartin, what would you like to promote?
See Parker's movie. It's an incredible accomplishment to direct and release a movie. And it's great. It scared the shit out of me. I was watching, classic. I was watching through my clothes and my hands. And it was a really great film. And then I also have an album out called Corset, if you want to take the edge off after Smile.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Mike Wiebe, what would you like to promote?
Riverboat Gamblers and Dracula's both have new singles out. I have a podcast called The International News Service. And I was a producer on a documentary about the band Guar called This Is Guar, and that's on Shudder right now.
Wow.
Oh, that's a perfect place for it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Appear very briefly in a movie that debuts on Shudder this tomorrow, Thanksgiving, called Blood Relatives. It's like Paper Moon, but with a father-daughter vampire.
Oh, with Noah Segan.
Yes.
Yeah, my buddy Andrew Baird was the cinematographer. That's awesome.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's coming out on Shudder as well. And thanks to all of you for being here. And here's my plugs. If you haven't yet, give the Wide World of Doug's podcast a listen. And Mike was just on it. And would love to get you on it as well, Parker. And we talked about it earlier, but I still don't know if Lori's done it or not because I lose track of who's been guests on which shows of mine. Eight Guests of Hanukkah at Largo in Los Angeles on Sunday, December 18th. And Lori and I will be with a bunch of other comics having a great time at Cobb's on New Year's Eve in San Francisco. Thanks, Lori Kilmartin, Mike Wiebe, and Parker Finn.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
And as always, what? Oh, okay. I got it. I always say that a different last line from a movie, and I scribbled this one down so fast. Yeah, well, how about we start with a fish or turtle or maybe something you don't have to feed.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his